Happy Halloween, everyone, and welcome to Retro Reminisce, the gaming podcast that basks in the golden age of gaming by delivering a weekly dose of old-school nostalgia. This is episode 19. This is our Halloween special where we're going to be talking about The Haunting starring Poltergeist. This is a lighthearted little horror title that I thought was really great when I played it back when I was a kid. It had a very interesting, cool concept at the time, too. So we're going to take a look at this and see how it holds up 25 years later. And we'll give you guys some current pricing trends in case you would like to check this out for yourself. Before we get started, don't forget to head over to thegamingoutsider.com and check out our video game podcasts, our articles, our subscribe links, and our social media links as well. Feedback is greatly appreciated, so use our email links to let us know how we're doing. Also, subscribe to this podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Music, TuneIn, and more. Last week, we released episode 18, which focused on Nuclear Strike for the Nintendo 64 and a Sony PlayStation, so check that out if you have not. I'm your host, Josh Faulkner, and I'm here with my co-host, as always, Justin Wilson. Justin, how are you doing, man?
Oh, pretty tired, man. I've been doing some spring cleaning. I know it's fall, but we're doing some spring cleaning.
You're late on that, man.
Yeah, getting ready for the new baby. We figure out the gender any day now, actually. Oh. I'm pretty sure within the next two or three days. So I was getting all the stuff ready to either be sold or be put away in its proper place to, you know, if it's a girl or a boy.
Gotcha.
So.
Make sure you let me know when you find out, man. I'm very curious.
We're doing a big reveal. There's going to be like balloons that are going to be pink or blue. It's going to be fun.
Awesome. Sound fantastic. Now, last week we did not release an episode. I wanted to mention why. I had a lot of stuff going on. I did some traveling last weekend and my wife got in a car accident, unfortunately, and she's okay and everything. My son wasn't with her, but we've been dealing with that. So I just had a lot on my plate. So we took a week off last week. The game that we were supposed to do last week, we're going to hold off until next week. So we could do our Halloween special in time for Halloween, and then you guys will get that one we were supposed to do last week next week. So stay tuned for that. Now, Justin, it's Halloween this week, man. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah. I went out and got Belle a duck costume. Nice. So, yeah, I'm excited. This neighborhood behind me is some really nice, expensive houses, so I know they're going to be passing out some good candy bars. I can't wait.
Yeah, we have a basketball outfit for why it looks like a basketball player. The reason we got that, normally from me, you wouldn't get stuff like that because I'm not a sports fan at all. But we bought him a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man outfit, and he hated it. He doesn't like anything on his head. If you put anything on his head, he wants to rip it off, and he yells and screams. So we tried to find something that we could get him that wouldn't have something big on his head, and we found this little basketball outfit, and it has little sleeves. It looks like he's got tattoos and everything. It's kind of cute. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, so we got him that, and there's a headband that comes with it, and he actually doesn't mind the headband. So we did give him a trial run at a what they call a trunk or treat event they had in town, where a local church was passing out candy through the trunks of their cars that were decorated for Halloween, and we took him to that and gave him a trial run with his costume. And he did really
nice.
So, but yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's hard to have Halloween parties when you have toddlers. Like we usually do that every year, but now that Wyatt, we have him, like it just doesn't happen.
I'm in the same boat with you. We used to have a Halloween party every year, and yeah, now that Belle's around, we might have a party, but it'll probably be from like 7 to 9 and very little drinking.
Yeah, we don't want a lot of people keeping him awake at 9. He goes to bed at 9, so that's just hard to do. Now, Justin, I'm going to ask you a quick question. When I was a kid, I remember there being certain video games that scared the shit out of me. Is there the first time that you can remember that you were scared by a video game?
Yeah, definitely. I'll never forget it. I got in a lot of trouble for this one. So it was Resident Evil 1. Oh my gosh. So you're walking past this boarded up, I guess I should set the scene first. Sorry.
Sure.
I had stayed up playing it for like 3 straight days. It was pretty much all I did. I ate, slept, went to the bathroom and played Resident Evil 1. And there was this one part where you're walking past some area in the game that you've walked past a million times. But on this one particular occasion, a bunch of hands jump out of this boarded window and grab your character. Mm-hmm. And I had stayed awake for so long. I was so tired and drained that I had thrown the controller across the room, crashed the game, woke my mom up. She had a rough night out drinking. So she woke up pretty pissed off at me and yelled at me and told me to go to bed. And I was grounded for a while.
Wow.
But I was so scared. I screamed at the top of my lungs. I was like, holy.
That's funny. Yeah, I remember that actually. I'm a big Resident Evil fan, so the time I remember a game for scaring me when I was really little. It was an Atari game, and surprising enough, an Atari game scared me. But there was this game. It was a it was sort of like a Space Invaders clone, and my dad would play it all the time. It wasn't Space Invaders. It was something different. It was something very similar. But after you would get so far in the game, it started playing this song. And I can't really quite remember what it was about the song, but every time this scary kind of sounding song, chiptune song on this Atari game would start playing, I started freaking out. And I would like run and scream out of the room. Why, I don't know, but I did for some reason. And in Goro, in the original Mortal Kombat, used to scare the hell out of me too. Like every time he'd pop up on screen, I'd be like, and just nope and shut off the system. So it's very early video game scares. And of course, when I was younger, anything that was underwater would freak me out too. Like I remember the eel in Mario 64 scaring the crap out of me. So yeah, that was for me. Now we're actually going to talk about a game that's a little more obscure, but is actually a big favorite of mine when I was a kid, and it's called The Haunting, starring Polterguy. This game released on August 17th of 1993, and it was an exclusive to the Sega Genesis. The game was published and developed by Electronic Arts, and it's sort of an adventure game, I guess you could call this. Like it kind of draws a line between different genres. It's kind of hard to really assign a genre to this game, but I'm going to go with adventure. Does that sound all right?
Yeah, I'd consider it like a adventure puzzler. Yeah,
sort of like that. Now, this game is all about you playing as a ghost and you're haunting a family. And for the time, this game had a very unique concept because there was nothing out there quite like this. Usually, you're playing as the character against the ghost. This time, you're playing as the ghost and you have to go inside this family's home and do what you can to haunt it, to scare them out of the house. Now, Justin, can you go into a little bit about the story of this thing for us?
Sure, yeah. So there's four family members total that you got to scare out of four different houses. There's Mimi, the sister, Tony, the brother, Flo, the wife, and Vito, the husband. And they're the Sardini family. It's very like Irish stereotypical puns all the way.
Actually, I think they're going for a...
not Irish, Italian.
Yeah, there's very Italian stereotypes, more or less.
Yeah, but Polterguy, he's a punk teenager who was killed by using a defective skateboard made by Vito Sardini's company. Yeah. And he's basically just trying to get revenge on this family so he can be human again. And spoiler, you might want to fast forward about like 6 seconds if you don't want to know the end. But he gets smashed by a anvil made by Sardini as soon as he becomes human again. So it's it's pretty good. They definitely left it open for a sequel.
Yeah, gotcha. Now, in this game, the Sardini family are living in this house, and Polterguy comes in, and he's here to scare them away out of the house as revenge for his defective skateboard killing him, more or less. Really stupid story. And the guy is like a greaser, like an early 90s kind of greaser character, and he's just rad, and you know, and he's just your typical 90s kid in like a leather jacket, like a Ramones kind of wannabe, you know, dude here.
And I thought they really dated this game with the phrase "dissed me." Like, man, they dissed me good.
Yeah, there's like little dialogue cutscenes in between the stages, and like the dialogue from Polterguy itself is really cheesy, and it's kind of funny to read this stuff just to see the mindset of people from the early 90s and how this was. But anyways, Polterguy goes inside this house. And what you are to do is you have to go inside. Now, they had the layout of the entire house. It's in an isometric view. And you can pull up a map of the house and you can look and see where, like, the layout of the rooms and everything. And each four member of the family will be in a just random room in the house. Now, what you have to do is your goal is you have to scare all four of them out of the house and make them move away and never come back. So inside the house, there's all kinds of different objects. Now, the game is very detailed because every room has a lot of decor and furniture and everything, and it feels like you're walking around in a house. Everything in this game can be tampered with and possessed, more or less, to try to scare the person. Now, there's three types of scares. The game classifies them as frightums, and they're by color. So a blue frightum means that you can walk up to an object, you can jump inside of it to possess it, and then you'll jump out. The next time that family member walks past it, the thing will go off and scare them. It'll just do something random. So, for instance, you can jump into the couch, and then when they walk past it, some giant teeth will come out of the couch and scare the hell out of them. There's also orange Frightums, which means that you have to press a button to activate it. So you have to wait until the family member gets near it. You press the button, then it goes off and tries to scare them. And then there's green Frightums as well, and these mean that you actually take control of the item and you're chasing them around with it. So, for instance, there's like a flower pot, and you can make like a ghost, like demon head come out of it, and you can chase them with the head by controlling it around and scaring them. It's cool because every single item does something different, and there's a very large variety of different things in this game that that you can use to scare them. And once you are able to have them scare them enough to get them out of the house, the family will move away. They'll move into a new house, and you essentially just follow them to the next house and scare the shit out of them all over again. It's like they can't get away from you. It's pretty funny. Now, Justin, what are some of your favorite scares in this game? What were you able to do that you thought was really clever for this game?
There's two in particular I really liked. I thought the Reaper or the Spectre that comes out of the door frame was really well done. It looked really cool, especially for, you know, dated graphics.
Yeah.
And then there was a part where there was like a person-sized hole that would appear in the wall, and then like this little, I wouldn't even call it a person, but person-like creature kind of peeks out of it. Uh-huh. And it reminded me a lot of, like, the creatures from Pink Floyd's The Wall towards the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
It just had that kind of spooky, scary style to it, which I like.
One of my favorite ones is when you're in the bathroom of one of the houses. I remember I think it was the dad was in there, Vito, and I had a woman pop up, and she had a towel on. And she took the towel off to reveal her naked body, and she just had guts falling out everywhere. And I thought that was really cool. This game actually gets quite gory. Like, you can have them to where they'll open something up, and there'll just be piles of guts laying there. You can have some guy pop out of the doorway, and his head get chopped off and stuff. It was pretty intense for the time, how gory this game was. But every family member has a portrait, and it shows them how scared they are every time you scare them with something. And they also have a scare meter also, so they'll start off as just like, or just calm, you know, mild. And as you scare them, they'll get, you know, more scared, and then eventually when they get to very scared, you'll have to try to chase them out of the house somehow. The concept of this game and the way you have to play it is you have to sort of plan how you scare them, more or less, to try to get them out of the house as quickly as possible. You have an ectoplasm meter, and as you're playing, it slowly depletes. As you successfully scare people and they run out of the room, more ectoplasm will drop, and you can collect it, and it'll fill back up your ectoplasm meter. You need ectoplasm in order to scare people. Once you run out, you'll end up in this crypt that you get pulled to, and you have to run through like an obstacle course, more or less, to get more ectoplasm to go back into the house and resume where you left off. The problem is there's things down there that try to kill you, and you have a little health meter, and as you get hit, it depletes. If it depletes all the way while you're in that crypt, it's game over, and you're done, and you have to start from the beginning of the game.
It's one of the worst health meters I've ever come across, too. The crypt health meter? Uh-huh. I didn't like it at all. It was too hard to, I don't know, I felt like I couldn't tell how many hits until I was going to die.
Yeah, it's essentially just a picture of Poltergeist, and it just kind of gets smaller and smaller and smaller until it disappears. But yeah, it is kind of hard to tell, you know, how much damage you're actually taking. So as long as you can avoid everything in there and collect all the ectoplasm, you'll go right back to where you left off in the house, and you can continue through the game. But if you die in there, then it's game over, and that's it. Now, once you get back into the house, it's just right where you left off. So you can just continue playing through, and as long as you don't die in that crypt, you can play right through the game, and it's not a big deal. You can lose as much ectoplasm as you want. But you need that to scare them. Now, some of them will be in certain rooms that are near one of the doors of the house that will allow them to exit the house. If they're in the middle of the house, they're just going to keep running off into different rooms. You have to try to chase them out of a room that has like a back door or a front door or something to get them out of the house. So the puzzle aspect of this game is trying to plan which family member you want to hit first, try to scare them with objects as successfully as you can, and get them out of the house as fast as you can before you end up in the crypt again, having to collect ectoplasm. Now, this game, it was very unique for the time. Like, have you ever played anything like this prior to this game coming out?
Oh, no, definitely not. Definitely. It was actually, I never played anything like it until, we'll get into it later. It's a similar recreation I played about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was on Steam. We'll talk about that here in a minute. So anyways, you also have these power-ups that once you're in the crypt, you can collect these as well. There's like 4 or 5 different power-ups, and you use the C button to activate them. So one of them, for instance, is a presence. It's like a super scare, and you'll drop this present in the middle of the floor. If one of the family members go and pick it up, it pops open and scares them so bad that you can almost get them to run out of the house with one go, which is pretty cool. There is also a voodoo mode where you do some kind of thing where you start throwing stuff at people and it'll scare the crap out of them too, and you can get them out of the, at least out of the room. They have an ecto refill ability too, which if you're running low on ectoplasm, you can use that once. They'll refill your meter and you can continue going. There's also a dog. As you progress further through the game, they don't throw this dog at you at first. But as like I think once you hit the second stage, they'll start integrating the dog. This dog will walk around, and it can sniff you out. The dog knows you're there, but the people don't. They can't see you. So if you're in the dog's way, it can actually bark at you. It will make your ectoplasm drain faster while he's barking at you, and it makes the family members feel safer, so their scare level will start to calm down a bit. So obviously that dog's a bad thing, and you don't want them in there. There's also an ability where you can throw dog food down and you can sort of get the dog to kind of go and just eat the food and get out of your way so you can scare people a little more efficiently. And it's a pretty useful feature as well. There's also these ectoplasm like ghosts that will fly around and attack you, and you have to use this little kung fu kick move with the B button.
It took me forever to realize that you could kill those, actually. Yeah. Because through the first level, you really don't need to use B, like, at all. So when they throw it to you in the second level, it's kind of a curveball.
Yeah, and it's hard to kill them, too. Like, you got to keep kicking them, and you can fly right past them because you kind of do this spin and this kind of dive kick where it kind of propels you forward. And these things fly around pretty quickly, and you can very easily miss them. So it's hard to really kick them. But yeah, they drain your ectoplasm too, and then as the ectoplasm drops when you scare the family members, it'll eat that as well, and it just makes a big just makes it more difficult for you. Now, once you get the families out of there and you scare them enough in enough houses to where they're just done with you, you have to fight a boss battle. Now, spoilers, this is the end of the game, so if you don't want to listen to this, you know, you might want to skip a couple minutes here. The final boss in this game is actually the dog that is walking around. It's the family dog. It turns into this big monster, and you fight it in the crypt. And it's a pretty annoying boss. It's very hard to hit it. If it takes you out, you have to go back to the crypt, collect all the ectoplasm, go back to the boss battle, and try to take this thing out. Not the greatest boss battle ever, but, I mean, it is what it is.
It was really hard to hit with the bombs.
Yes.
Like, because you use bombs to throw at the dog, and then the dog turns into the brain things, and you got to kill the brains. And they're like, you can't look down. Like, if you're at the top of the screen, you can't see the brains. Mm. You have to be at the bottom of the screen. Yeah. And it's just kind of a pain in the butt a little bit. It was kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, gotcha. Now, so the thing that just makes this game so memorable to me, it's just the concept that just going through and haunting this family and doing what you can to all the objects to make them do freaky things. I remember that when I was playing the game, I loved when the faces grew on the trees, like the demon faces, and freaked them out and they started running. I liked making the son and the family pee his pants if you scare him enough. There's a lot of
that was always fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool animations in the game from the family. Like, you can make the wife's pants drop and she's walking around in her underwear. The boy's head will actually explode at one point. Like, there's all kinds of funny. The game feels very LucasArts like. There's a big sense of humor to it. It's not trying to be scary. It's trying to be silly. But at the same time, there's some pretty freaky stuff in here with some of the scares. Like, I liked how the demon came out of the door frame and would like try to grab people. Like, that was pretty cool. And I had a pair of bloody legs run out of the washer and dryer once, and I was chasing the dad down with this disembodied pair of bloody legs. And they just do all kinds of cool stuff like that. But this game is also score-based. As you're able to navigate the house and sort of play well to get the family out the door quicker, you get more of a score. And so you can kind of use this game as a score attack, too, so you can compete with buddies and everything to see who can get the best scores and get the family members out of the house faster. So I like that a lot. So let's go into the controls. Justin, how do you feel this game controlled?
And it was hard to control, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I felt like it played well into the game.
Yeah.
It was kind of an added challenge. Like when you're going through the crypt and you're trying to jump, because there's like little lips and ledges that you have to get over, mm-hmm. You can't be up close when you jump. You kind of got to give yourself space. So yeah. You might run up too close to the ledge, and then you realize you got to run back. And meanwhile, arms are trying to grab you, and there's these like hot vents that are trying to spray at you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to control, at least as far as the crypt. But when you're in the house, the only complaint I had was occasionally you'll go to haunt something and you'll jump into the wrong object.
Yeah.
The detection on what object you're trying to haunt isn't the greatest.
Yeah, one of the issues I have with the controls is I feel like moving around is a little too loose. So like when ectoplasm drops, like I'm trying to collect it, and it'll actually start to get smaller and smaller as it drops. So if you collect it and you wait too long and it gets too small, then you get less ectoplasm in your meter. I would like kind of run around in circles trying to collect them. I just felt like I was just moving too fast and too loose to where I would just run right around them. It was hard for me to collect them and get that right.
I'm a big Snake fan. It's always been one of my favorite classic games.
Yeah.
And I kind of use the Snake method with this, just kind of moving in circles to get the ectoplasm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when the family members run out of the room and you're trying to find them, like sometimes they'll just go right into the next room and it's easy, but sometimes they'll skip a couple rooms and you have to actually pull up your map and try to find them. But a lot of the times I'll try to get into the doorway quickly to chase them, and again, I'll keep running into the door frame and just kind of moving around in circles trying to get through it. It just feels like the controls were a little too loose. I felt like they could have made those a little tighter.
And did you get overly excited when you'd scare him out of the room and you want to follow him and you forget to pick up the ectoplasm?
Yes, that would happen.
That happened to me so many times, or I'd accidentally step through the doorway.
Yeah, because it's sort of like a run on time. Like you're trying to do this as fast as you can without running out of ectoplasm. Because once you drop down into that crypt, like it kind of sucks. Like that
oh,
part.
Yeah. I think it gets harder too the more times you drop down personally.
Yeah, and you take more damage and everything. And once you've done that a couple times, like it once you drop down, you're just like, oh man, I really don't want to do this again. And it's kind of time consuming too. You have to collect all the ectoplasm, or they will not let you back up into the house. Now, as you progress through the game too, the houses get larger, so it's harder for you to navigate them and find the people too. So that gives it more of a challenging feel to it as you progress through. Now, how did you feel about the graphics of this game?
Oh, I thought they were great. They kept me laughing. The weird splotch on his face was bugging me a little bit.
What do you mean?
Like when it's on the home screen, when it's at the screen where he's talking to you and, Poltergeist talking mm-hmm. to you and it's got the text, he kind of has like a weird, yellow splotch in the middle of his face that was bugging me, but the actual gameplay graphics are great.
Yeah. The game is very detailed for a 16-bit game. Like I said, there's the houses are well decorated. It seems like a house that's being lived in. Very detailed, and even the scares in this game are very detailed. When something bloody or creepy is happening, like there's a lot of detail in the sprites there. Poltergeist himself, like I don't really like the design of him. I think he just looks kind of dumb, especially to say standards.
I think his walk is super goofy.
Yeah, yeah, and he has this little animation where he kind of throws his hands up in the air and does a little dance as you scare him successfully out of the house, and it's kind of weird. I don't know, but the game is still today very, very good looking, but and the animations are really good for the most part, but I really don't like the design of the family, and I don't really like the design of Poltergeist himself. I felt like they could have done a little better than that, but it's not a big deal. It doesn't hurt the game in any way, shape, or form at all.
They tried really hard to make the family ugly, I felt.
Yeah.
Like that you really wanted to hate this family.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Now let's talk about how well this game has held up. So this game's 25 years old. Today, I still have not really played anything quite like it. There is a game that tries to sort of try to be a spiritual successor to this game, though, and you've played that, right?
Oh yeah, I played the heck out of it. It's called Ghostmaster. Mm-hmm. You can pick it up on Steam for like, you can find it on sale for 50 cents, but it's usually, I think, $3 to $5.
Yeah.
But it's extremely similar to Poltergeist, but instead of playing as Poltergeist, you're more of playing as, I guess you'd call it a god. Mm-hmm. You yourself have the ability to haunt this house, third person perspective. And the goal is to scare everyone out. It's a lot of fun. My friend, funny story, actually, my friend Chris was big into console gaming, and I showed him, he showed me the game, and I was like, you know, that's on Steam, right? And he's like, what? And that from that day, he's been a PC gamer ever since.
Not really.
Because he's thought, I can get all my favorite games on here.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's actually the game that made him drop all the cash to build a PC.
Wow, the Poltergeist clone? Ghostmaster?
Yeah, Ghostmaster.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, and it's pretty fun. But, I mean, 50 cents, you really can't beat it for the price.
Yeah,
Steam sale. Compared to the price of Poltergeist, you know, and there's a little bit more to it. It's not just four levels. So I definitely think if you like Poltergeist, you'd love Ghostmaster. It's a great spiritual successor.
Cool. So how do you feel this game held up today?
Oh, it did a great job. Other than the music, it was cheesy. It was almost too cheesy for me, and I like cheese.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I've played this game so much, and I don't even really remember much of the music except for the little victory music that plays once you finish a stage.
Yeah.
Like the music's just very forgettable in this game.
But I just think it held up. Even the things that it didn't have going for it, like the controls, mm-hmm. play into it well as an added challenge, mm-hmm. kind of like the slide that Mario has when you try to stop with him.
Yeah.
It's an added challenge.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I was very high on this game when I was younger. I remember just randomly walking into a video store and just seeing this. I'm like, I haven't played this before. I'll rent it. Rented the game, played a lot of it, really, really enjoyed it. And here I am today sitting down playing this game again. I still think the game is really fun, but as you progress through it, it does really start to get tedious. I by the time I was on the third level, I just kind of didn't want to keep going, you know? But
oh yeah, it was rough because like no matter how hard you try, they could be right next to that front door and you haunt one wrong object and they run all the way back to their bedroom and you got to start all over. And like the more times you scare them in one room, the more ectoplasm they drop. At least I thought I noticed.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's true.
And so like if they're really scared, every time you scare them out of a room, they're going to drop less ectoplasm because it only takes one scare to move them to the next room. But it's the key is like fine tuning, trying to make sure you use the right object to send them through the correct door. And it gets so tedious and frustrating after a while. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Once I hit that third stage, I just kind of wanted to put it down, you know, and I remember it being that way when I was a kid. I remember playing through this game multiple times, having a blast. But that being said, I still think this is a great game to check out. I think it's a great game to play for Halloween.
Because
there's so many different genres of horror tucked into this game. You know, you have there's ghosts, possession, there's demons, there's serial killers. You know, you can make all kinds of different crazy things happen with this ghost inside this house, and it just plays to the Halloween theme and the just everything that you see in this type of holiday. You know, I think it works really well. So if you want to sit down and play something for Halloween that's not going to scare you, if you're not really quite into the games that are going to freak you out and you just want something a little more lighthearted that really hits the theme of Halloween, I think this is a great game to play. It may not hold your interest for very long to the end, and especially when you get to the end, that final boss kind of sucks. But for the most part, I really like this game. I still do. I still think it plays very well. Just buyer beware, because you may not see it to the end if you get a little bored with just constantly jumping in objects and watching it happen.
And that's where walkthroughs are always there to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll kind of some of the walkthroughs with this game will kind of tell you which objects to kind of focus on in each room that will be a little more effective than others. But essentially, man, you're just running around and you're just hitting buttons in front of objects to jump in and out of them and make them, you know, go off and scare people. So the gameplay is really not super complex, and a lot of it's just hitting a button and waiting for things to happen. But as you play it, there is a slight strategy to it, and some people might get into that more than others. So let's look at some pricing trends of this game. If there's anyone listening and they really want to check this out, here's how you can get it. This game is actually included in a collection of EA games that were classic Electronic Arts games from the 90s. It's called EA Replay Collection. And actually, some of the games we talked about last week in Nuclear Strikes episode, like Desert Strike, is in this thing too. It released for the PSP, and this game has Poltergeist in it. So you can play it on your PSP, and to get a hold of a copy of this game nowadays, which obviously is going to be used because you're not really going to find a new copy unless you find it on eBay sealed, you can get it around $10. Not too expensive. So that's one way you can play this. Another way you can play this game is that you can go out and get the Genesis copy. That might be a little harder than you think because this game's actually becoming quite sought out and pretty rare. Right now, if you're looking at a loose cartridge, it's anywhere between $30 to $40. If you can find it complete, it's around $50 to $60. I've seen this game go all the way up to $80 on eBay and people grab them if the condition's really good. So this game's actually becoming a little more rare. I noticed that within the last couple years, the price of this thing has raised substantially too. So as the years move on, it's probably going to get even more expensive. So if you're interested in this game, I would grab it now because the price of this thing is probably going to rise as the years go on. So this might be quite a collector's item for Genesis collectors out there.
Especially if they ever own up and do a sequel, because at the end they kind of hinted a sequel with, you know, how it ended.
Yeah, and I mean, it's Electronic Arts. They did a lot of interesting things in the 16-bit era, but they really don't touch any of that stuff anymore. EA is well known to drop a franchise really fast if it doesn't make enough money for them. So I don't know if we'll ever see a sequel, but man, I would love to see this game reimagined with next-gen graphics in full 3D, with much more detailed, you know, scares and everything, and maybe a little more variety in the families. Maybe the families would change or something like that, or give it a little better story other than I died on a skateboard, so I'm going to haunt your family. You know what I mean?
I got two words. Poltergeist VR.
There you go. Oh, I would play that. Like you're in the perspective of the ghost, and you just fly around inside of things and make them go, oh, that'd be awesome. Someone write up EA and make that happen. So I would
do it now.
I would play the hell out of that, yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so that'll be it for this episode of Retro Reminisce. Justin, thanks for hopping on with me, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Sorry I got too distracted with my spring cleaning this week.
Yeah, we released this episode a little late, but it's fine. Not a big deal. We still got it to everyone. Yeah. I hope everyone has an awesome Halloween. Have a very safe Halloween, especially with the kids out there. Make sure you check that candy. You never know what happens.
Or you can send it to me, and I will gladly check it, but I'm not guaranteed it'll get sent back.
I'll check it in my tummy, yes.
Yeah.
Tune in next week where we'll be revisiting a new retro game. Head on over to thegamingoutsider.com for more and email me at feedback@thegamingoutsider.com if there is a game that you would like for us to cover or if you want to give us any general feedback on the show. Hope to see you next time, and as we leave, I'd like to remind you all to visit your local retro shop, grab a golden oldie, and game like it's 1989. See you next time.
Happy Halloween!